Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be diving into the Gospel of Luke.
Yeah.
Specifically, the infancy narrative.
Right.
You've given us some really, really thought-provoking excerpts from Dr. Daniel K. Darko's teachings on Luke.
Yeah.
And we're ready to unpack their significance.
Great.
Especially what they reveal about early Jewish tradition.
Absolutely. What's captivating about Luke is how he intricately connects the story of Jesus's early life.
Yeah.
With the traditions of Second Temple Judaism.
Okay.
It's not just a simple biography.
Right.
It's a carefully constructed narrative.
Yeah.
Revealing both Jesus's identity and the world he lived in.
Okay, so let's jump right in.
Sure.
Dr. Darko emphasizes the importance of Jesus's circumcision and dedication at the temple.
Yes.
I found myself wondering, why would Luke even include these seemingly mundane details?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
It might seem ordinary to us, but yeah. In the context of Second Temple Judaism, these acts were incredibly significant.
Okay.
They signified that Mary and Joseph were devout Jews.
Yeah. Meticulously following the law.
Yeah.
They were essentially announcing that Jesus was fully integrated into the covenant God made with Abraham.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like they're establishing Jesus's Jewish credentials right from the start.
Exactly.
But Dr. Darko also pointed out Luke's reference to Leviticus 12.68,
right,
where it talks about the sacrifices offered.
Right. The sacrifice of turtle doves or pigeons.
Yeah.
Was specifically for those who couldn't afford a lamb.
Oh, okay.
By highlighting this, Luke subtly reveals the humble economic status of Jesus's family.
Okay.
It challenges our preconceived notions of what a Messiah's family might look like.
Right.
Not wealthy or powerful, but ordinary people.
It's a reminder that Jesus was born into a world very different from the grand palaces and temples we often associate with biblical figures.
Yes.
Now, Dr. Darko then introduces us to Simeon and Anna.
Okay.
Who witnessed Jesus's presentation at the temple.
Yes.
He calls them important witnesses, but what makes their pronouncements so significant?
What do they tell us about Jesus?
Their prophecies, particularly Simeon's, directly point to Jesus' messianic identity.
Okay.
Simeon, a righteous and devout man, had been waiting for the consolation of Israel.
Yeah.
Now, for our listener, this term might sound a bit obscure.
Okay.
It essentially encapsulates the deep-seated hope
for
a Messiah who would liberate Israel from oppression and usher in an era of peace and prosperity.
So Simeon recognizing Jesus as this figure is a huge deal.
Yeah.
He doesn't just say nice baby. He's basically declaring this infant to be the fulfillment of centuries of longing and prophecy.
Exactly.
Wow.
And it goes even further than that.
Yeah.
Simeon prophesies that Jesus will be a light not only for Israel, but also for the Gentiles.
Oh, wow.
This is a radical concept.
Right.
The idea that the Messiah's reach extends beyond the chosen people to encompass the entire world.
So already Luke is hinting at the universal nature of Jesus's mission. And what about Anna?
Anna is fascinating.
Yeah.
Because she's one of the few female prophets mentioned in the New Testament.
Oh, interesting.
Luke emphasizes her piety and her constant devotion to prayer and fasting. She represents this unwavering faith and anticipation for Jerusalem's redemption.
Okay.
Her recognition of Jesus further solidifies his messianic identity.
Oh, okay.
Showing that this isn't just one man's opinion.
Right.
It's confirmed by multiple devout individuals.
Okay, so we've got Jesus's Jewish identity firmly established.
Yes.
And these powerful pronouncements about his future.
Right.
Dr. Darko then jumps to Jesus at age 12, visiting the temple during Passover.
Right.
I have to admit, the story of Mary and Joseph losing track of him always makes me a little anxious.
It does raise some questions.
Yeah.
Dr. Darko explains how people traveled in caravans for safety.
Oh, okay.
And it was assumed children would stay within the group.
Right.
So it's understandable that Mary and Joseph wouldn't realize Jesus wasn't with them until they were already a day's journey away.
Right.
It speaks to the trust they had in the community
and
the social norms of the time.
That context definitely helps me see it differently.
Right.
Now, when they finally find Jesus, he's engaged in discussions with the temple teachers.
Yes.
And everyone's amazed by his understanding and answers.
Right.
Dr. Darko seems to emphasize this moment as a turning point for Jesus.
Yeah.
What do you think he's getting at?
This episode signifies Jesus' growing awareness of his divine mission.
Okay.
His response to his worried parents.
Yeah.
Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?
Right.
Reveals a profound understanding of his unique relationship with God. He's not just a bright child asking insightful questions.
Yeah.
he's starting to grasp the magnitude of who he is
right.
and what he's meant to do.
That's such an intriguing statement. There's definitely a lot to unpack there. What stands out to you about how Dr. Darko analyzes these events?
Well, Luke doesn't just tell us these stories.
Yeah.
He uses specific details to paint a vivid picture.
Okay.
For example, he often focuses on physical descriptions, what Dr. Darko calls physiognomy.
Oh, okay.
Particularly with John the Baptist and Jesus.
Yeah.
He mentions their growth.
Yeah.
Their stature details that might seem insignificant,
right,
but actually play a crucial role.
Okay. I have to admit, I'm not familiar with that term physiognomy.
Yeah.
Can you explain what it means?
Of course.
Yeah.
Physiognomy is the study of a person's facial features and body structure.
Okay.
Especially in relation to their character or personality.
Okay.
Well, we might not do that today.
Right.
It was a common practice in ancient times to associate physical attributes with inner qualities.
Okay.
So when Luke describes John growing strong in the wilderness or Jesus increasing in wisdom and stature, he's subtly connecting their physical development with their spiritual growth.
Oh.
It's a way of signaling their readiness for their respective roles in God's plan.
Wow, that's a fascinating insight.
Yeah.
I'm already starting to see these stories in a whole new light.
Yes.
So we're seeing how Luke meticulously crafts this portrait of Jesus as deeply rooted in Jewish tradition. But Dr. Darko also mentions the significance of the number 30, the age when Jesus begins his public ministry. What's the connection there?
Oh, that's a fascinating detail that often gets overlooked in Jewish tradition. 30 was considered the age of full maturity, the time when a man was ready to take on leadership roles and fully participate in religious life. So by having Jesus start his ministry at 30, Luke is subtly reinforcing his adherence to Jewish customs.
It's like he's saying, look, even though Jesus is about to challenge the status quo with his teachings, he's still operating within the established framework of Jewish society. It's that balance between continuity and change that we were talking about earlier.
Exactly. And this is particularly important for the early Christian community who are trying to figure out their own relationship with Judaism. Luke is essentially building a bridge, demonstrating that Christianity wasn't meant to be a complete break from Judaism, but rather a fulfillment of its promises.
That makes a lot of sense, especially considering the tensions that existed between early Christians and the Jewish community. Now, I'm curious about something else. Dr. Darko highlighted Luke's unique literary style. He uses that term physiognomy again to describe Luke's attention to detail in describing characters and events. Can we delve a little deeper into that?
Of course, Luke isn't just interested in telling the story. He wants us to truly see it. Think about how he describes Zechariah being unable to speak after encountering the angel Gabriel or John the Baptist, growing strong in spirit while living in the wilderness. These details might seem small, but they bring the characters to life, giving us insight into their personalities and journeys.
It's like Luke is painting a portrait with words. He's adding those fine brushstrokes that create depth and dimension. But you mentioned earlier that this focus on physical descriptions wasn't unique to Luke. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. Even in the Old Testament, physical stature was often used to emphasize a leader's authority and command respect. Think of the descriptions of Moses or Samson. Luke is drawing on this tradition, but he's also using it in a new way. He's not just emphasizing Jesus' physical strength, but also his inner qualities, his wisdom, his compassion, his spiritual growth. Remember, Luke is aiming to present a portrait of Jesus as both fully human and fully divine.
It's incredible how Luke weaves together so many layers, the historical context, the cultural nuances, the theological significance, and even these seemingly minor physical details. It all comes together to create a rich tapestry.
And he manages to do all of this while maintaining a compelling narrative. The story never feels bogged down by these details. Instead, they enhance our understanding and draw us deeper into the world of the narrative.
So it's not just what Luke is saying, it's how he's saying it that makes the gospel so powerful. He's not just giving us facts, he's inviting us to experience the story alongside the characters.
Precisely. You're picking up on what makes Luke such a skilled storyteller now. Before we move on, I think it's important to touch upon one more key takeaway from Dr. Darko's teachings that really resonated with me. He cautions us against viewing Christianity as something that suppresses or replaces Judaism.
That's a crucial point, especially given the long and complex history between the two faiths.
Exactly. It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that Christianity completely superseded Judaism. But Dr. Darko reminds us that God chose to enter our world as a Jew. Everything that happens in Jesus' life, particularly as depicted in Luke, unfolds within the traditions of Second Temple Judaism.
And he also points out that in the book of Acts, which is essentially a continuation of Luke's gospel, Christianity is still portrayed as deeply intertwined with Jewish practices and beliefs.
Right. It's a reminder that we can't understand Christianity without acknowledging its Jewish roots. It challenges us to approach the study of both faiths with respect and sensitivity, recognizing the deep connections between them.
I think this is a perfect place to pause and reflect on everything we've discussed so far. There's so much richness and depth in these opening chapters of Luke. It's not just a story about Jesus. It's a window into the religious and cultural landscape of his time and the beginnings of a movement that would change the world. You know, as we delve deeper into Dr. Darko's analysis, one theme that keeps emerging is Luke's portrayal of Jesus as a humble Messiah. It seems almost paradoxical, the idea of a Messiah who's born in a stable and grows up in an obscure town like Nazareth.
It's a brilliant contrast that Luke sets up.
Right.
We see Jesus's humble beginnings juxtaposed with these grand pronouncements from Simeon and Anna about his destiny. It subverts our expectations and makes us rethink what it means to be a powerful figure.
Right. We're conditioned to think of messiahs in terms of earthly power and authority, but Luke is suggesting something entirely different. It's like he's saying true leadership isn't about dominance, but about service and humility.
Exactly. And this theme continues throughout Luke's gospel. Think about how often Jesus reaches out to the marginalized, the poor, the sick, the outcasts of society. He challenges the social hierarchy and embraces those who are often ignored or rejected by the religious elite.
It's a powerful message, especially for us today, in a world that often equates success with wealth and status. Luke's portrayal of Jesus invites us to reconsider our own values and priorities. What do you think Luke is trying to say about true greatness?
I think Luke is showing us that true greatness lies in humility, compassion, and a willingness to serve others. It's about recognizing the inherent dignity of every human being, regardless of their social standing or circumstances.
It's a radical idea. Even today, it challenges us to look beyond superficial measures of success and to focus on building a more just and compassionate world. It also reminds us that Jesus's message was and still is deeply relevant to the social issues of our time.
Absolutely. And this brings us back to Dr. Darko's central argument about the crucial relationship between Judaism and Christianity. He stresses that we can't simply view Christianity as something that replaced or superseded Judaism.
Instead, it's more like a continuation, a fulfillment of the promises and hopes embedded within Jewish tradition.
Precisely. Luke is painting a much more nuanced picture, one that emphasizes continuity and connection rather than rupture and separation. He's inviting us to move beyond simplistic binaries and to appreciate the rich tapestry of religious thought and practice that existed in the first century.
It's a powerful reminder that our understanding of both faiths is enriched when we acknowledge their interconnectedness. So as we wrap up our deep dive into these excerpts from Dr. Darko's teachings, what key takeaways do you think will stay with our listener?
Well, first and foremost, I hope they've gained a deeper appreciation for the artistry and sophistication of Luke's gospel. It's not just a straightforward account of Jesus's life. It's a carefully crafted narrative designed to convey profound theological and social messages.
And it's not just about understanding the past. It's about applying these insights to our lives today, thinking about the challenges we face, and asking ourselves, how would Jesus approach these issues? What can we learn from his example of humility, compassion, and service?
Exactly. And perhaps most importantly, this deep dive has offered a glimpse into the complex and fascinating relationship between Judaism and Christianity. It encourages us to continue exploring these connections with open minds and a commitment to respectful dialogue.
This has been a truly enriching exploration of the Gospel of Luke. It's amazing how these seemingly simple stories from Jesus's childhood can reveal so much about his identity, his mission, and the world he lived in. It makes you want to keep digging deeper, doesn't it?
It certainly does, and that's the beauty of the deep dive. It sparks curiosity and inspires us to continue our own journeys of discovery.
And on that note, we'll wrap up this episode. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of the Gospel of Luke. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.